95.7 Ben FM Philadelphia presents Her Story, hosted by Kathy Romano. Her Story is a weekly tribute to women making a major difference in the lives of others by telling her story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Chad's Ford Winery has a number of great events throughout the year. I actually went to the adult trick-or-treating event that was around Halloween for the first time this past fall. It was a lot of fun. They just announced some upcoming events, and this one caught my eye. It's the Women-Owned Food Truck Festival at Chad's Ford Winery on Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st. Live music, food, and of course, wine. What more could you ask for? I have three guests that are in today, and all of the women are involved in this food truck festival. Up first is the wine educator at Chad's Ford Winery, Rachel Brown. Rachel, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So what do you do as the wine educator?
So I have a couple different roles. Right now, any new staff that comes in, they get to spend an inordinate amount of time with me. We get to train behind the bar. I teach them how to taste wine, how to present wine, how to speak about it clearly, how to pair, how to work through experiences with customers. I also, with our assistant manager, run our tour programs. I do a lot of the wine pairing programs that we do, and I'm actually in school right now through the winery, so I'm studying to become a sommelier right now.
Oh, you are? Okay, and that's pretty prestigious, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. So it's a lot of different things. It's breaking down, knowing where grapes grow, the difference between this place and the altitude and, you know, the climate and all these different things, and how these grapes ripen and the styles of wine they produce and the problems that they face in the vineyard. And I need to just be able to know it.
To know it,
yep,
all.
Just to know it.
Did you have anything to do with the adult trick-or-treating event that happened?
Yeah, so myself and Sandy Massey, Kate, and Nicholas, we all did the pairings together. We came in early one morning. We had about 15 bottles of wine lined up on the tasting bar. We had all these different snacks, and we were like, okay, what do we want to do? And so we drank and ate for about an hour and a half and got the menu done. So nice. It's a really hard job, but somebody needs to do it, and it's me. So,
well, and that was a great event. I was there, and I loved it, and I thought the pairings were great. I went with a group of girls, and we had a lot of fun. It was a great event. Fortunately, we came on a day that was very nice out, so the whole thing was outside, and we really, really had a nice time.
Yeah, people love it. They come every year. It's our biggest event that we do apart from Murder Mystery. It sells out every year without fail. And people come through and they love it. They get to be kids and run around and enjoy it and drink wine. And so it's great to see that people can come in and have that experience and really enjoy it.
So what's the Murder Mystery?
So Murder Mystery, we do every January. Myself and Nicholas write it. We kind of take over the winery. Everybody's in character. We have five stations. We do a wine and food program just like Trick or Treat, but you have to solve the murder. And you have to go through, find the clues, figure out who did it. And if you win, you get to take wine home with you. There's always a bigger prize at the end of the night, too. So people come. It's an after-hours event for about 80 people. And they come through. They get to dress up. So this year's was pirate-themed, actually. So we came through. We had a tale of revenge. And people came and hung out for 2 hours and ate and drank and solved some murders.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the Women-Owned Food Truck Festival.
Sure. So this event is really neat. As a local winery on the East Coast, we want to support local businesses and we want to bring them in. All of our stuff that we try to do is local with our grapes, and we want to bring in other businesses that also kind of support that ideology. 90% of our staff is women-based. Our retail manager is a woman. Our marketing director is a woman. Our event coordinator is a woman. Their wine educator is a woman. So we outnumber the guys about 5-1 right now on staff. And so, like, it's just a huge celebration of, like, women power and local businesses and, like, bringing it together. So it's going to be a really cool event.
And it's on March 30th and 31st, 2 days, a weekend. How do people get tickets?
So there's no tickets. You can show up whenever you want between 11 and 6. The only thing that they're going to need tickets for is if they want to do a traditional tasting, and that they'll pay for inside. But the food trucks will be out. We'll have music. They just get to come and hang out. So if they want to come up and buy glasses, buy bottles, go eat and hang out in the field, they're more than welcome to do that. So there's no tickets necessary for this event.
And the event is all outside?
Yes.
What's something that most people don't know about wine?
Oh my gosh. How much time do you have? So I guess the biggest thing is that wine doesn't age the way that people think that it's meant to be aged. The whole idea of I have a wine cellar, I have bottles that are, you know, 25, 30 years old, they're only going to get better with age, isn't necessarily true. That's only true for a tiny, tiny margin of wine. 95% of the wine out in the market today is meant to be drank in the first 2 years of being purchased. 5% of those wines are meant to age. 5% is small, but it ends up being like a couple hundred thousand bottles, but they're very specific on how they age. So if you do have any of your older bottles, there's ways to kind of indicate if that wine's not good anymore or not.
And how do you indicate that?
If you have a corked bottle or even, you know, a screw cap bottle, you have a space called ullage, and ullage is the cork and the wine, and you have a specific amount of space. If the wine is healthy, it's maybe about an inch or so. If the wine has started to oxidize or turn into vinegar, the wine will shrink down the neck of the bottle. So if you can look at the distance between cork and wine, and that wine is down towards the neck, your wine is no longer good. So you should either cook with it or dump it. I wouldn't recommend drinking it. It kind of might make you sick. That's one of the big things, is that people come in and they're like, oh, I have wine that's like 15, 20 years old. And it's like, man, you should really check before you drink that, because I don't know if it'll be good anymore at this point.
I had a bottle in my basement and I was told that I'm supposed to let it age and, you know, the whole thing. And finally, I was like, well, what am I letting this age for? I want to drink it. I want to taste it.
Yeah,
opened
definitely.
It up and I'm like, why am I drinking vinegar? What is this?
Yeah. Some do. There's some grapes like Cabernet Sauvignon, like Bordeaux blends. Like those are meant, like you can put to age to them. Most of the stuff that you buy like is not meant to really age like that. And that's the big misconception with wine. Oh, you have to age it. You have to age it. It's more specific than a lot of people think. And so normally when we talk about that on tours, you can just see like the horror on their faces. Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, I have so much wine in my cellar. And it's like, you should check. You should go home and check. Absolutely.
And how should you store wine if you are not going to drink it right away?
Sure. So it should be in a place that it's not really going to be disturbed with a lot of foot traffic. So if you have a basement in the corner somewhere out of the sun, if it's corked on its side, cork needs lubrication. If you stand it up, the cork will actually dry out and fall into the bottle. That's why corked bottles are stored on their side, because it needs to expand to stay into the neck. So if you have corked bottles, make sure they're on their side. Cool temperatures if you can. Room temp's okay. If you have like a wine fridge, bump it up, maybe like 50, 55 degrees, just to make sure that it's stable, and just let it go. Sunlight will kind of permeate the bottle a little bit. So you want to make sure that it's, like I said, out of the sun, in the shade. So actually all my wine is stored under my bed, which is interesting because it's right near my heater vent. So when the air kicks on, it'll go underneath my bed. It's shaded. It's on its side, and it's not anything that ever really gets jostled around a whole lot. So you don't have a wine rack under the bed, works just as well.
Okay, that's a good tip. I like that. What's your favorite wine at Chad's Ford Winery?
So my favorite wine we currently are making is our 2016 Cabernet Sauvignon, but my favorite wine that we've ever produced was our 2015 Chamberson. That was my favorite wine that we did. Chamberson's a really cool grape. It grows well on the East Coast, and it's not a grape that a lot of people hear of. It's got these really interesting properties behind it, and the wine ends up being really spicy, and it's fragrant. There's a lot of black cherry, and it's beautiful in its pigmentation. So that was my favorite. I think I have two bottles of it left, and I'm just sitting on them and just waiting, because I don't want to open them.
Why has rosé taken a step up in popularity?
Rosé is great. So it had a little bit of a falling out because it became sweet with the white Zinfandel, and then people kind of looked at rosés as like only sweeter, like more dessert style wines. But rosé, when it's done, I mean, sweet rosés are fantastic. Nothing against those. I prefer drier, but drier rosés are very crisp and they're very refreshing and they're very fruit forward. And then when they're done right, they're a mouthful of flavor. So we're getting ready to release our dry rosé in April. And it's a Cab Merlot Pinot Noir blend. And we actually just got to taste it. We did Vintner Table Friday night, and we did a pre-release. We poured it with one of the dishes. And the watermelon in that wine is ridiculous. Mm. There's so much dry cherry, and they're big without being weighty, if that makes sense. Like, the flavors are very intense. It's a mouth-coating experience. You have a great acidity. You have very low tannins. They're a little bit more palatable for people who don't like to drink heavy dry red wine. And they're very food-friendly. You can sit down and do them with almost anything. If you want to do barbecue or Thai, Indian, desserts, cheeses, like fresh fruit, rosé is something that you can kind of, like, pop into your life whenever you want, and you're never really going to be disappointed with it. So
it kind of got a bad rap from the white Zinfandel, and now it's kind of building its reputation back up.
Because people are like, oh, you drink rosés, and it was like almost like a curse word for a little while. And listen, my method of talking to people about wine is like, you always have to drink what you like to drink. I'm not here to tell you that you're not drinking the right wine. Wine is something that you should fit into your life. You should enjoy it. You should drink it with friends. And so if you want to go for the sweet side of the rosés, please do it. They're very, very good. If you want to go for the dry side, go for it. But a lot of people kind of looked at rosés as only a sweet-based wine instead of a drier, you know, more unique expression of it.
You're very knowledgeable, Rachel.
Oh, thanks.
Hence your position, I think, at Chad's Ford Winery. Where'd you go to school?
So I went to Westchester. I actually studied creative writing. I was an English major.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I went to Westchester as well.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I studied communications, though. I stayed in the field that I studied. How did you then get to Chad's Ford Winery, then?
So my best friend was actually working at the winery at the time, and I worked at a bookstore on campus that closed down, and I could not find a job for a year. I applied to hundreds, literally hundreds of jobs, and I couldn't find anything. And she was like, hey, Rach, come to the winery, even for part-time, just as something to do. At this point, I haven't left my house in 9 months. I'm going stir-crazy. I need to do something. And I started at the winery knowing nothing about wine. I didn't even drink it. And 3 weeks in, I was just fascinated with it and fell in love with it. And I'll be there 3 years in July.
Well, good for you and congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Where can people find out more information about the women-owned food truck event? Is it on your website?
It is, yes. So chatsford.com. You're going to go under winery, visit, and events. And then there's a sidebar of all the different things that we're running through. And Women's Food Truck Festival is now at the top of that list since it's our next event that we're running.
Great. Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
So my next two guests today are sisters who own a food truck that will be taking part in the women-owned food truck event at Chad's Ford Winery on Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st. Please welcome Petra Heiss and Gisela Grammel. Thank you for coming by, ladies.
Well, thanks so much.
You're originally from Germany, and while spending summers visiting extended family there, you would indulge in gelato every day. And this is where you came up with the idea for the gelato food truck?
Yes.
What's the name of it?
Got a lot of gelato.
How did you get that name?
Well, we wanted more than just traditional gelato. We wanted to also showcase some of the other Italian desserts. Not just gelato, but other things. So got a lot of gelato is more than just gelato.
We actually got our family and friends together to come up with all these different names that they thought. And then we had a meeting and we scratched off the ones nobody liked. And we ended up with got a lot of gelato was the final one.
Final name. But why gelato and not gelato?
To rhyme.
Just to rhyme. Okay. All right. So tell me about your summers then in Germany and how this all came about.
Well, my family, they had a business. All of them lived in this big house with the aunts and uncles and grandparents. And we would go into town and it was called Italienische Eis, which is Italian ice. So we would go and it was different from American ice cream. It had a different flavor, different texture. It was more intense. But we didn't really understand that it was why it was different. We just went every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And that was a pattern. People there tend to do that. They have an afternoon gelato. That's just tradition. In Germany is second in number of gelaterias is Italy. So in Italy, I think they even indulge in more. Years later, we realize here, I didn't find a lot of authentic gelaterias. And I haven't seen a lot of food trucks like that. And I think it was my sister's idea first.
Was it your idea?
I guess. We were at we were doing some family dinner and we were just kind of knocking off ideas. And I like ice cream and gelato a lot. So I was like, if I'm going to do something, my own business, I want to do something that I really love. We thought of that idea and then we kind of researched it a little more and said, okay, that seems to be
when
the way
she was in HR, she was trying to find an ice cream truck for a social. And it was very difficult. She couldn't find one for an employee appreciation day. There weren't any around in Delaware or anywhere nearby. And then she said, why is it so difficult to find one?
So you mentioned that Petra was in human resources. Originally, you both had different career paths.
Oh, definitely. I was an HR manager, mostly manufacturing type businesses. So I was in charge of doing all the employee events and holiday parties and things like that. And usually employee appreciation days. I was very fortunate. Most of the companies I worked for still had these parties and things. So I was given a budget. And typically, since it was manufacturing, they'd want to do something on site. So that was a challenge. So yeah, many times I was like, it's summertime. We want to do something fun and quick and different and tried to find ice cream socials and things like that. I ended up buying the ice cream and setting everything up myself. But it would have been nice if I could do something that was easier, you know,
sure,
for me anyway.
And Gisela, you were already working in the food industry.
I was an R&D food scientist. So my job, I started out working in New Jersey, working on TV dinners. I would do samples, and they would be presented to marketing. We would formulate them in the test kitchens. Then we would go to the plant, run tests. We would do the shelf life studies, do testing. Then we would run full batches at the plant. And I did this for like 20 years working at different companies. After that, I worked in a kosher chicken plant, then at a pork plant, creating different bacon types, thick or maple, whatever. And I ended up at the end of a contract at a meat plant. I said, you know, my contract ended. And I thought, well, the kids are in college. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. It was always in my mind. And it was her idea to do gelato. That kind of made sense. There's a science to gelato. There's an art to gelato. So I was able to use both.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
So I'm the one that creates the recipes and the formulas. She does the business side of it. And I
have to reject some of her ideas.
Yeah,
because
they're a little
Oh, you do?
She's very artsy and very, I have to say, sometimes a little out there. And I have to kind of reel it in and say, okay, maybe we can do this one. But this one, maybe we'll wait a little bit. So it kind of, it's a good combination.
Otherwise, we would have launched a Thanksgiving dinner gelato, which was a disaster.
You know what? It's so funny. Somebody that we work with. So I do a show in the mornings, the Preston and Steve show down the hall on WMMR. And we had an ice cream for a little while with Bassett's. And one of our producers wanted to do a turkey dinner ice cream. That's what he wanted our flavor to be. And the rest of us were like, are you nuts? No. And we ended up with a delicious flavor. But it's funny that you say turkey dinner because that was his idea, too. You two should get together and come up with your ice cream.
I might be able to perfect it next year.
So tell me a little bit. You said it's not just gelato. There are other things that you serve from your food truck. Tell me a little bit about the products.
So we do some dessert in a jars. If somebody doesn't want the frozen dessert, we came out with their little plastic jars with lids and you can grab and go. There's usually layers of cake, frosting and cake and frosting. So like a carrot cake, limoncello, different things like that. So it's an easy grab and go.
Yeah, chocolate mousse, anything layered that's easy with a spoon. You can put it in your pocket, eat it later. Also like a key lime cheesecake, things like that.
Okay.
And then we do cannoli filled with gelato.
Yeah, we get our cannoli shells from South Philly. They're super fresh, made the traditional way. We fill them with gelato, and we can add the toppings. Everything we have in gelato or sorbet, we have toppings and dips that are included. There's as many as you want, everything from Oreo crumbs to nuts to chocolate, caramel, strawberry sauce, all of that, whatever you want, so they can choose.
The cannoli sounds amazing.
It is. The nice thing about it is when you fill it with a ricotta filling, the shell gets soft
right
after a while. But
right
with the gelato, it's always crisp.
Wow. Okay. And thank you, by the way. You brought me some samples of your gelato. I appreciate that. I love it. So tell me a little bit about the process of buying a food truck.
We knew nothing. So yeah, it was starting from scratch. First, we went to Gelato University to learn how to make gelato the right way. Right.
There's a Gelato University?
Yes, oh, yeah, there's several.
Where is that? Where'd you go?
There's Italy, Chicago. The Carpegiani is the company that makes the very best gelato machines. And it's an Italian company. They're state-of-the-art. They're programmed to get the texture exactly right.
Oh.
And they have a class. It's a full-week immersion class. They're all over the world, though. And we went to one in Chicago. I wanted to go to the Italy one, but we didn't have enough time for that. So the advanced courses are in Italy, and I'm planning to go to those, the advanced gelato pastry. So it's an immersion course, and we met people from all over the world, from the Caribbean to Mexico and all over the United States. They were all together, and we paired up with someone, and we got trained by Italian experts in it, everything from the science to the history. And then our final exam was to create a gelato flavor of your very own, and we had judges, and she got third. I got second place.
Very nice.
Yeah, she created an Elvis.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley with bacon and peanut butter and banana. And mine was I call it a tropical paradise. And it was a mango, avocado, and coconut with pepitos, the toasted pumpkin with a little maple over the top.
But Petra, even though you're doing the business side of it, you also know how to make the gelato?
Well, you have to. You know, what if something happens? You have to be able to step in. So we're cross-training more and more now. So she's going to have to learn how to drive the truck and all the other things of it.
She does like the maintenance, too.
And all the maintenance on it. So
she changes the oil.
Oh, really?
And the generator, yeah.
Wow. Now, and this truck is custom built, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we bought the truck new. One of the things, I'm not usually mechanic-minded. You don't want to worry about, you know, your life money coming and breaking down and you can't get to an event. So we did buy the truck new.
Just the shell. Yeah. And we worked with a designer together. We told them what equipment we needed on the truck. And we had several meetings with them that had planners and blueprints. So we needed a display case. We needed a blast freezer. And we also needed a what they call the Mr. Art. It was a machine that does self-serve. It does also mousse, semifredo, and it all does it on the truck. So we can make gelato on the truck.
Okay.
So we never run out at any event, which is a disaster for some because you're sitting there. We will never run out because we will continue to make.
You can make it right there in the truck.
Well, if we run out of milk and all the ingredients, we will run out.
Right. Okay. But as long as you have the ingredients, you can make it right there on the truck.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Which you'll be doing at this event at Chad's Ford Winery. How did you get connected with Chad's Ford and doing this event?
Oh, we've done events with them before. We have a group of women-owned food truckers. We have a meeting like once every quarter or so, all of us women. And we have some other people in the group. And one of the other women has a cupcake truck. She and I said to us, you know, in October, we thought we should do a women's event, just women-owned. Because a lot of people don't even realize that the women on the truck are the owners. So because we had been at Chad's Ford before, and so had she, and it had enough space to have at least 10 trucks, we reached out and said, you know, let's try to do something. And then when I think you had mentioned that March was Women's Month, and that's how we ended up with March. But it was our group of women-owned food trucks that kind of talked about it and said, we should focus on it. And focus on just trucks that are owned by women. And a little bit tell the story. So if you go to the event page, since I know all the owners and we know them pretty well, we would each day I added a story about what her truck is about, who she is, why did she buy the truck, what's her signature dish, and what was her past career. They're all on the event page.
Oh, I love that. You'll
the look event it in page the discussion.
Of what website?
It's on the Facebook page for the event.
For Chad's Ford Winery.
Right. Yeah. Oh, they created the page. We're co-hosts.
I love
it. So I would post every week. I've posted one of the trucks and introduced them.
So what other types of food trucks can we expect at this event?
Oh, we got quite a group. We have a truck called I Don't Give a Fork because they only offer sandwiches. You're never going to get a fork.
Love
it. She's one who started right out of college. She got her truck at the end of her college year. That's all she's ever done. From University of Delaware. She graduated and started her truck. And then we have two vegan trucks. One is called Nude Food. Her sandwiches, she's got amazing vegan sandwiches like barbecue jackfruit, believe it or not, nachos, things like that. And we have a cupcake truck. They're sisters. The Sweetest Rose. Got a lot of gelato, of course, us. Serena's Soul Food. She has some amazing things from the fried catfish. And mashed potatoes are heavenly. Also, Mamma Mia is a mother-daughter truck. Italian Fusion. They're kind of inspired by the Tuscan region. They have a very famous Parmesan basil sauce. Oh, yeah, the Wandering Chef, they have these Asian dumplings all made by hand. She is amazing.
How many trucks total?
10.
10 trucks.
So then we have the Get Pizza This. This is a vegan pizza. And On the Roll, that's the classic. Oh, yeah, Natalie's Fine Food. She's been around for 20 years catering. She got the truck 5 years ago. Her signature would be the brisket sandwich. And she's got a Kennett mushroom and some others. I've seen quiche on her truck. All very elegant, very fresh local food.
So a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Do you cater events with your food truck, I'm guessing?
What's fun about that is we can pull up to the office, to the graduation, and everybody can come out and get it personalized. They can get the flavor they want, the topping they want, and it's a lot of fun. And it doesn't take very long as it would if you were to order a dinner or have other things. They can come in. Get what they want, and everybody can hang out and chat. We've been to some corporate offices where it's a beautiful sunny day. They sit out on the tables and the benches while they're having their little break, and it lifts their spirit. They're outside in the sun and enjoying a gelato together and talking to people that they don't often see during the day.
Are you constantly moving from spot to spot? How can people find you?
We post our schedule. And when the season now begins, we will be posting actively on Twitter every time. But every week, we post a schedule. And on the website, it has a calendar tab, and it has the schedule up there.
Okay, so if people wanted to find you, just go to your website. You'll have all of your locations listed there. And, of course, you'll be at this event at Chad's Ford Winery, which is Saturday, March 30th and the 31st as well. And what is your social media sites?
It has got a lot of gelato.
Got a lot of gelato. Okay, across the board.
Yeah, Instagram is the same.
All right, great. Ladies, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you. It was fun.
I really appreciate it. And good luck at the event. Like I said, I've been to a couple events at Chads Ford Winery. They're always fun. So if you're listening, you can go to the Chads Ford Winery website to get all of the information. You don't actually need tickets. You can just show up. Hopefully you guys will get a beautiful day and you'll get a lot of people. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
It's ChadsFordWinery.com for more information about the Women-Owned Food Truck Festival that's taking place. Or you can also go to GotALotOfGelata.com if you'd like to find out more information about Petra and Gisela's gelato food truck. Thank you so much for joining me again today. If you missed any part of today's interview, you can podcast all of the Her Story shows at 957BenFM.com. There is a Her Story tab right on the front page. You click that, and then you can scroll through all of the Her Story guests to find the one you're looking for. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.